He has risen. Welcome, everyone who has gathered here and online. We're so glad that you're here with us today for the Easter service. This is Resurrection Day, and it is a beautiful day outside, and I pray that that is how we sense God's Spirit today on the inside. Because of his resurrection, the way of the world has been altered forever, and this is what we celebrate today. This is our hope. And yet, much of the world doesn't seem to know. Almost everything around us points to business as usual, like nothing has changed and like nothing will. The resurrection is a message that counters the way of the world. It has the power to launch us in a different way to live because we're confident in a different kind of outcome, right? We have a different way to live because we're confident in a different kind of outcome. We're confident that the grave isn't final. So turn to somebody today and let them know, the grave isn't final. Go ahead and say that to them. The grave isn't final. That's right, the grave isn't final. And that's good news because there has been a resurrection. It has the power to fuel our hope beyond the way of the world. So we believe in a different kind of outcome than the grave. So as we journey to the cross, and to the empty tomb this morning, my hope is that you discover with me a kind of confidence that fuels a new life with resurrection outcomes. So the first step to knowing the power of the resurrection is believing the empty tomb. And for the first disciples that we read about today, it seems too amazing, right? They struggle with believing what they actually are seeing with their very own eyes, an empty tomb. So you might be like those disciples, like many of us, when we press beyond the surface of our Easter experience, you know, the greetings, the good traditions, the tombs decorated with lilies, when we move all that aside and start looking on the inside, there's a whole lot we discover that is still struggling to embrace the empty tomb. How do I know? Because there's tells. There's signs, there's symptoms that reveal our struggle. The disciples experienced them. I feel them. Maybe you feel like it too. The signs, they might be feelings of doubt that keep resurfacing. Even though you're sure you believe, they still show up. Or the struggle that's revealed in the shame that makes you feel like a pretender, like maybe you're a faker. Even though you want to be the real thing, you just can't shake it. Or it crops up as maybe a fear of rejection. It's always lingering. Nobody says it, but you think it. You don't know why, but it's just there. Or that too familiar sense of alienation, like you're still on the outside. Like you're not sure if you're ever really going to quite belong or could ever quite belong. And then guilt, because you know. You know what you've done. And you feel like if someone else knows, then you're out. If you're found out, you're out. And you can't shake it. You know that feeling? I do. I feel it from time to time. Maybe too often. Maybe you do too. There are tells, there are signs that we're uncomfortable with what the resurrection means. So where do these come from? These come from experiencing the way of the world. The world around us just does not live the resurrection message. Why would they? And if we try to, sometimes it feels like we're just going to get swallowed up because, I mean, really, an empty tomb, because that's the way of the world. If you feel like you're just holding on by a thread, if you feel those symptoms, those tells, those signs, or if you just can't quite make the turn to living that new life, that new creation, that new outcome, then there's good news. I encourage you, keep listening. There's power to launch us into a different way to live because we are confident in a different kind of outcome. The Apostle John says about the whole scripture of the gospel, he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus, the Messiah, He is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Someone say life. life in his name, he is talking about nothing other than the resurrection life, the empty tomb kind of life. So let's shake off what's holding us back and move toward this kind of resurrection living. So what's standing in our way? What's keeping us from it? Well, it's really quite simple. It really is. Death is in the way. Death is in the way. We're stuck between the hope of the resurrection life that Easter announces and the way of the world that mires us down in the fear of death. It's understandable because fear of death is the way of the world. It really is. It's all around us. Death reminds us that it's the outcome of every human being, and the world tells us that death is final. It's the end. So we fear it, and rightly so, maybe. How did we get here? Well, fear of death is not just the way of the world. It has actually a more sinister reality that we would sometimes like to ignore. It's not the way of the world from the beginning of the creation. It's not how God intended it. Death is the outcome of our sin. It's the outcome of our sin. Now, I know that's not a very popular message, but let's follow the logic here. If we want to experience the other side of the resurrection, then we need to understand how we got where we are. So sin separates us from God. God is the source of life. All life comes from God. So apart from God, we no longer have the source of life, so we face death. So when human beings reject God, when they reject God's ways, then we are separated. And we're all in this together. You know, you can't blame mom for this one. This is something that we're all a part of. It's our own fault. So because of sin, we live in the fear of death. It's not the way of the world. It's the way we choose to go in the world. So it brings us to this big dilemma. How do we fix it? Anybody like that? You want to fix things, right? It's broken. Let's fix it. Let's get on. How do we fix it? Well, what can we do about it? The answer is nothing. We can't fix it. Are you expecting to skip the grave? I mean, you might want to look at the statistics because it kind of shows that, you know, it's not looking like it's in our favor. The Bible has taught us clearly throughout the ages that it takes a perfect sacrifice to take away sin and to escape death. Escape its finality. And you and I are not perfect. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. I know you're pretty good, but you're not perfect. So that leaves us fearing the grave. So what if we could live a different way? What if we didn't have that fear of death? What if we could live with the confidence of a different kind of outcome? That'd be good news, wouldn't it? Are you ready for some good news today? Ready for the Easter message? The Bible says that there is a different kind of outcome, and that what's impossible with man, with human beings, with you and I, is possible with God, and that is the very thing God has done on Easter morning. God had a different outcome in mind from the very beginning of the world. The Gospel of John, he tells us in the beginning that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That means no more fear of death. See, Jesus reverses death's grip on us by crushing sin in the grave. So if you toured through here on Good Friday, you might have been able to see some of the stations that had been set up here, and kind of depicted what Jesus went through on his journey to the cross. And you know, I was struck as I was walking through here again with just the outright brutality and cruelty of the crucifixion. And specifically, I got stuck on the thorns, and I was thinking, you know, here's Jesus. He's giving his life. He's being tried. He's falsely accused. He's being beaten and tortured and flogged. And then to add to the insult, the soldiers put this crown of thorns on his head, you know, push it down. And I think, why? What's the point? He's already going to his death. Why must he be humiliated all that much more? What is the point? The point is, it's the way of the world. And Jesus placed himself at the center of it to remake it. It's countercultural. It's unexpected. It's really hard to imagine. But I want us to consider this. Follow me through this. The sinless Son of God in perfect union with the Father, fully God, fully human. In his flesh, he took on sin severity. He died a cruel and brutal death because it was the way of the world. And he himself, God's one and only Son, he was separated from the Father, taking our place. So Jesus substituted himself for us. He took my place. He took your place. Turn to someone beside you and tell them, he took your place. Go ahead and say that. He took your place. Now, when we grasp that, we understand that he gave his life for his mission to save the world, right? To save you. So why is Jesus' death any different from any other martyr or good soldier who dies for his cause? Because there are plenty. Others have given the ultimate sacrifice for what they believe, and it's noble. It truly is. It's inspiring. It can even motivate us to live sacrificially. But it still ends in death. So why is it so different for Jesus? Because when we follow his story, he ends up in a tomb, right? In death. But the world is about to experience a different kind of outcome. Adrian Dielman, he shares this story that a boy and his father were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring day, maybe just like this, you can imagine. And then a bumblebee flew in the car window, and the little boy, he was allergic to bee stings, so he was petrified, and the father quickly reached out and he grabbed the bee in his hand and squeezed it, and then he released it. And then the boy grew frantic as it buzzed by him again. But once again, the father reached out of his hand, but this time he pointed to his palm, and there, stuck in his palm, was the stinger of the bee. "Do you see this?" he said. "You don't need to be afraid anymore. I have taken the sting for you." The Apostle Paul, he writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what is the victory the apostle is describing? The victory that we celebrate at the communion table in his sacrament that renews our hope in more to come. And so we're going to do things a little differently today. We're actually going to celebrate communion right now in the middle of this message. And the reason for it is to help us to journey from the cross to the empty tomb. Because we are not just hearing the story, we are participants in it. And so we are invited to the table. And it is Jesus himself who invites all who trust in him and who desire to follow in his ways to come to the table. Whether you are a faithful follower of Jesus or you're coming along today desiring to trust and know him, you're invited to the table. If you're online with us today, then go ahead and grab your elements, the bread and the cup, and we will share in this sacrament together. So the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
And so in this sacrament, we consecrate it in prayer. The Lord Jesus, forever blessed, do you be praised and honor, forgiving yourself and shedding your blood and letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. So bless, O God, this bread which we together eat and the cup which we together drink, and let us through this blessed bread and cup become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So take your bread. The body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat.
I invite you to take your cup, the blood of Christ shed for your sins. Take and drink. Join with me in prayer as we give God thanks for this. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with the spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Give us now your peace and grant us strength and courage through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
So innocent of sin, Jesus gave his body and blood, and then it seemed like he succumbed to the powers of this dark world, and he went the same way every human being goes, to the grave. It seemed, that Friday night, that it's just the way of the world. But on Easter morning, the empty tomb says something very different. And the disciples find out not only an empty tomb, but they find the risen Jesus. And we follow that in John chapter 20 again as we pick up the resurrection story. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Of course not. How could she? It's impossible. And yet, he asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. So the power of the cross has altered the way we thought that the world works. Something bigger has taken place, something even the first followers had difficulty to grasp, and that is this, that the resurrection is a different kind of outcome. So just to be sure, this is not a vision, this is not some spiritual embodiment of Jesus, this is an actual bodily resurrection. The original language of these accounts that each of the disciples have written, they all speak in this very terms, that this is specifically a physical body that was dead, that has now been given life again. This is a real flesh and bone bodily resurrection. And it's not simply a resuscitation. I mean, the angels weren't some kind of EMTs that came and gave CPR to Jesus and he came back to life 3 days later. This is an absolute new mode of existence. This is a new act of creation when the new has come, the reversal of death itself. And so it's unthinkable until the empty tomb. And still, it's difficult to grasp for the disciples, even though they see it with their own eyes. It can be difficult for us. But this is the real way of the world. Resurrection in all its glory, and it changes everything. Paul writes again, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So we are no longer outsiders. We're no longer scrambling to hold on to life as long as we can and just waiting for it all to come crashing in. We can expect a completely alternate outcome, what N.T. Wright calls the afterlife. It's not just about our souls going to heaven. It is about our bodies being raised from the dead in a new earth and a new heaven, which means we live this life in our human body, we die in our human body, and we are raised to new life in our human body, which we will be a new creation resurrection body. It's almost hard to believe. It's almost unimaginable, but this is exactly what the gospel is telling us. because the power of the cross, the sin has been defeated, the tomb is emptied, the grave is opened, death is over, and hope is alive. And this means that there's continuity between this life and the life to come. And I think that is really good news. Think about it. Whatever happens in this life, there's continuity with what is coming. If you feel like you've been holding on by a thread, if you've been living with fear or shame or guilt, maybe alienation, then the invitation is to step out of that way of life. That life is over. That life is done. It's been transformed through the cross and the resurrection. And by faith in Jesus, who has left the tomb, death has lost its sting. You and I, we are freely forgiven. There is no more guilt. There's no reason to live with it. You and I are known completely. We are loved beyond measure. There is no shame. We are known and loved. You are welcomed into the family of God with a glorious future where death has no hold on you. You are a beloved child of God, set free to experience life and a different kind of outcome, and free to live a different kind of life. The way of the world has always pointed us to death, but the way of the empty tomb points us to life, resurrection life. And it means one thing. One thing: we are called to a different way to live. So when you walk out of here today, when I leave, when we turn off the broadcast that you're watching today, my hope is that we are all changed by the power of the Easter message. My hope is that the resurrection calls you and me and us together to a new task, to a new community, and to a new message. We're called into a different way to take up this life, a new task of embodying Jesus' way of life. And Jesus reveals himself that way. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Simply put, the resurrection life is a life of following Jesus and pursuing his purpose. It's a new way. The resurrection has launched a new mission to make followers of Jesus. And Jesus, he was lifted up, the Bible says, to draw all people to himself. And it says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within." So as a follower, you and I are living, breathing new creations, extending the love of Christ to the world. So whatever you do in this life, every act of goodness and kindness, every act of mercy and justice, no matter how big it is, how grand, or how tiny, small it is, even the littlest thing has value and impact in the new creation. Think about that for a moment. Not just in this life, but in the new creation. What you do matters. Your life has purpose far beyond the grave. The power of death no longer can stop your kingdom work. It doesn't end with the tomb. It continues through the resurrection and into the new creation. That is good news. You matter. Your work matters. We now live with the expectation of a different kind of outcome. And Jesus describes how that makes a difference now when he speaks of those who help even the least. He says, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Ken Shigematsu, he says, "Even the smallest act of kindness becomes infinite in the new creation." So loving one another as Jesus has loved us is our resurrection mission. So the resurrection life calls us to a new task, and it calls us to a new community. So we are the body of Christ in the world. We are living and being the church. It's the resurrection community. And that might cause us to rethink or reimagine what that community of Christ looks like in the world, because you're in it, right? That makes it different. We are not the same church we were 15 years ago, because this is not the same world. We are not the same community. But we have the same mission. I'm incredibly amazed as I see you following the Spirit and being the body of Christ. You are the community who welcomes those who are alienated and on the outside. Because you once were, and you know you were welcomed in. And you continually sacrifice your time and resources and finances in amazing ways, and I think in ways even unexpected and even unimagined, far beyond what might be expected, because you love Jesus, you're sold out, and you love his people. And you're committed to sharing the hope of the resurrection with those who seem to have it all together and those who don't. Because you are convinced that Christ has called all. He has died for all, and he has invited all to share in the resurrection life. And as a Jesus follower, you are a new community that encourages one another in the way of the real world, the world that is brought into being by the resurrection of Jesus. So you are the church. So who is the church? We are the church. That's right. You are the church. And the resurrection calls us to a new task, a new community, and a new message. And that message is proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. It's the true story. We are committed to the Easter message that says, he is risen. He is risen indeed. So life is not meant to be lived scrambling to hold on to it, finding in the end all along that you couldn't. That's the way of the grave. The way of Jesus has a different outcome. He describes it saying, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life for my sake, you will save it. And the resurrection is the key to a whole new way of living life. So if you are caught up in that crushing scramble to live a life of meaning that you already know is only going to end in the grave, then I invite you to embrace the hope of Easter. Embrace the resurrection life. The way of the world has been forever altered. We can still live that old way, but we don't have to. We are no longer trapped in the tomb. We are no longer held in. Death has been dealt with. We no longer are imprisoned or enslaved by our sin. The barrier has been shattered at the cross. So break free. Trust in the resurrection of Jesus. Turn from hopelessness to ultimate victory. Our first thought when we think about all that is it's impossible. I didn't do anything. And that's the very point. You couldn't, but Jesus did. And because of it, the tomb is empty. So are you ready for a new life? Are you ready for a different kind of outcome? Are you ready to pursue the resurrection life? It all changes when we come to Jesus. So if you're on that journey as a follower, or if you're brand new to it today, then I invite you to call on the name of Jesus, to live into the resurrection life. The old is gone, and the new has come. Join me, if you will, in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the Easter celebration of resurrection. Lord, thank you that you have called us from death to new life in you. And Lord, as we celebrate Easter today, help us recognize that this is the new way. The old way is gone. Lord, help us to embrace a new way of life, to embrace the new community of God's people, to embrace the new message of the resurrection. And Lord, as we celebrate, to know beyond a doubt that we have life beyond a grave in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.